Blog Talk Radio.
My friends, where the music never ends. Oh, more. Well, Welcome back, my friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We're part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you can find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Join us at 7 p.m. on Monday for Keeping It Brief. Then come back and sit in with our wild Luyu in Nature and Front Page Picks. Tuesdays, dig into the thoughts of Twisted Sisters. Wednesday, turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursday, the split between In Our Craft and Silent Art, or Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dan. Fridays, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday, a split between Grey Eyes and Dan Howling at the Moon in the Northern Wilds, bringing you Bad Company, or Exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Gray. If you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Saturday mornings. Then Take a Walk on the Wild Side Tuesday. Friday is a split between Break On Through and Echoes in the Dark with Pam, and Sit In with Aphasiana and Babbler on Saturday, as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contest and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems, and for the fun. And if you do SoundClouds, please attach those to your poems, and we'd be happy to play those and hear you read your own words. Evening, Pam.
Good evening, Rex. How goes it?
All right.
Great intro, as always. Doesn't that always throw you, that surely throws me off whenever I have a song on and I think it's ended and it's like, oh, wait, no, never mind. crazy stuff. But I am really looking forward to tonight's show. Great music, awesome poetry. I love hanging out with you and other cool poets. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Echo and the Bunny Men?
I don't know a whole lot because this is brand new to me, even though they've been around since 1978. But I never got to hear them until they were suggested recently. I know Ian McCulloch, Julian Cope, and Peter Wiley formed a band called Crucial Three back in 77. Didn't last very long, whereas McCulloch and Cope formed a short-lived band, A Shallow Madness, with drummer Dave Pickett and organist Paul Simpson, during which time they wrote a couple of songs. We did in books, which is on tonight, Robert Mitchum, You Think It's Love, and Space Hopper were written. Then McCulloch left the band, and they turned into The Teardrop Explodes. And meanwhile, McCulloch joined with guitarist Will Sargent and bass player Lee Pattinson to form Echo and the Bunnymen. And their early notation, they were using a drum machine to fill in the backdrop. In 78, they took the name Echo and the Bunnymen after one of their fans kept offering up a note of very strange names to them. One of them just happened to be Echo and the Bunny Run. Kind of stuck. Late 78, they took their debut at Liverpool's Eric's Club, the opening act for Teardrop Explodes, strange enough. Former band is the main act, and they come in as the opening act. They played one song, which is a 20-minute version of Monkeys. Their debut single, Pictures on the Wall, was released on Zoo Records in May 79. B-side being Read It in Books. Both those songs are part of tonight's lineup. And at the back end of 79, it was joined with drummer Peter Freelis. I'm not quite sure. Peter Freelis. who played with them for quite a while. And there's been many iterations over the years. McCulloch left in 88 for a while, then came back. You know, they're still touring today, as a matter of fact. So maybe we'll get a little more insight from a person who actually suggested this group a little later on in the show, which would help.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, I have to say that is quite a bit of knowledge for a man who doesn't know much. So very cool, very cool. And, yeah, great. Awesome, awesome music, awesome band. And we do have a couple of callers that I'd like to bring on. So first I'll go ahead. Yeah, and bring on Wayne. Welcome, Wayne. Glad you could join us.
Hello, guys and girls.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, I never heard of the group before. I thought that was a new group. It's amazing. 1978.
Yeah, that is, yeah, not quite that new. They're
well,
like,
they were doing their thing over there. We were getting hit with the likes of the Knack, Cars, Boston, Van Halen. So it wasn't a mix that kind of played over here well at the time.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
True.
I've heard of it.
And then I'd like to welcome Gress to the show. Welcome, Gress. Glad you could join us. How's it going?
Hey, how's it going? They're considered the other band from Liverpool.
Absolutely.
And I was in the big punk back then. That was like the start of, I don't think, like Susie and the Banshees and then Robert Smith and then all them. And I was in the post-punk kind of like music back then. I listened to them, but they weren't like top of my, you know, I've heard of them before, but I never listened to them as much. They had, I think their first album is still the best, to be honest with you.
They weren't like the Cure where you like listen to them like all the time, right?
No.
Yes. Wasn't that one of, like one of your bands that you really liked?
Yeah, the Smiths and the Cure and Susie and the Banshees and Misfits, all those back then, the bands.
Good stuff. So, do either of you have a limited amount of time that you'll be here?
I probably got an hour. I got at least an hour.
Okay, Wayne, you have an hour, and Gress?
Yeah, an hour should be enough.
Okay.
Get rid of me.
Sounds good. All right. Well, Rex, sounds good to me. Well, the first song we're going to play is Read It in Books. And
I said, there's more to life than a broken heart. Did it console you?
Well, I hope that's that one.
To go with that one, we have Lighting in Your Eyes by Betty Page. And it goes like this. I say I can't find anyone to love me. You know there's more to life than being in love, yet I still love you. You've seen in my eyes, seen my flirty look. I want love swinging my hips. I love your words, poetically speaking sweet. Your intellect, come sweetie, no regrets. There's no denying, no inhibition. Come love, give me what I'm after. Because we should never stop chasing rainbows, searching for golden treasures, sweetest escapes. We'll kiss even when rain comes. Lighting in your eyes, got the sweetest look. Let's make love, fairy tale books. Live out fantasies, happy together. Love now and forever after. Just ask and I'll be there. I'll come over to your place. You've still got such a lovely face. Your heart's made of purest gold. Lighting in your eyes, got the sweetest looks. Let's make love fairy tale books. Kiss me infinitely. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Wayne, why don't we start with you?
I thought it was an excellent poem there. It's a nice little love poem. She had a lot of emotion in it, and carried a good flow all through it, and I enjoyed the poem. Good job.
Nice. Thank you, Wayne. Gretz, how about you?
Oh, I love the fairy tale books and those type of things. It's like, you know, it's like reminiscing, and you kind of figure out, like, how she's going about the song and also putting her own spin on it. To me, her line where she says, because we should never stop chasing rainbows, searching for golden treasures, sweet escapes, we'll kiss even when the rain comes, is basically saying that we're going to go through a lot of bad times and good times, and as long as we have each other, we'll keep on going, which I find, you know, both emotionally and satisfying, because that's the way that love should be. It should be where you actually, no matter what, you're going to be together and have each other. I love that part.
Nice. Excellent. Thank you. Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Oh, I thought this was so beautiful and so romantic. You know, it's one of those poems that definitely shows the tender and romantic side of Betty. I really enjoy and appreciate that this is about wanting that love and connection and admiring someone, not only because of their physical attributes, but what they can emotionally offer, you know. And there, where it says, I love your words, poetically speaking sweet, your intellect, come sweetie, no regrets, there's no denying, no inhibitions, come love me, what I'm after. And I think the way she expresses her desires and her needs and for what she's looking for in love and the things she admires. And I do really enjoy the line, let's make love fairy tale books, kiss me infinitely. You know, that never wanting to let go of that someone. So beautiful right and very well done.
All right. Thank you, Pam. Well, that opening does hit on the idea. I say I can't find anyone to love me. You know there's more to life than being in love. Yes, I still love you. That note of hope kind of hits right there. And then that second stanza, you've seen in my eyes, seen my flirty looks, I want love swinging my hips. And then rolling into, I love your words, poetically speaking, sweet, your intellect, come sweetie, no regrets, there's no denying, no inhibitions, come love me, give me what I'm after. The idea of craving that interaction and the thought of, please, take a chance. You don't know what you will miss out on unless you take that chance. So please, give me a bit of hope. I think that's what this is all about, especially hitting on that note to fantasy the idea of Golden Thread, as Brett hit on, and same thing with We'll Kiss Even When Rain Comes, the idea of not just enjoying the passing into the stormy times and out of them as well. Nicely done, Becky. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, where you want to go next?
All right. The next song we're going to listen to is The Pictures on My Wall.
Can you hear it?
We have Pictures on My Wall by Jesna Sajan. Wayne, go ahead, please, and give that a read for us.
Well, I'll give it my best shot. It's been a long day watching football games, but I'll see what I can do with it. Pictures on My Wall. Something like this. Here's a picture of the wall. It says much about all. People are all standing tight. Maybe it's all right. On the black story behind it all, that says it much about all. Illusions of the black and white says nothing but what's right. Here's a picture of the wall, on my wall, hanging side to side. Any time it might fall, if the wind blowing on its tide, what might be the shade? The pictures are the jade, passion, priceless. Can you hear it? The breaking of the glass in pieces of all on its crown, pictures on the ground. For all they stumbled and fall, death came and took them all. There's the pictures of a wall. Now there's nothing at all as they reach the ground. There's no word to be found. There's no more pictures on the wall. I'm feeling tall. Ian?
Great read, Wayne. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, somebody to talk.
Yes, absolutely. Great read there, Wayne. Thank you. Yeah, I really like the altogether tone of this because I really feel like the artwork, you know, that people have hanging on their wall or, you know, in their house really says a lot about this. I also like how it speaks of generations of memories that are held on to. You know, it just like you think about the things that your parents or your grandparents handed down to you. I know my daughter, my youngest, she has a lot of the dolls and knickknacks that used to belong to my mother. And it's just nice to see her keeping those things and relating to them, like the doll collection and the different pictures. I really felt a connection with the general theme of this poem as it spoke to me. It's interesting because it is just like the song. It kind of has a dark undertone, especially in the pictures on the ground where they all they stumble and fall. Death came and took them all. There's the pictures of my wall. Now there's nothing at all. It's that idea that the pictures represent those people that were once in your life. And no longer are they physically there, so all you have is the memories to hold on to. So amazing write and very well done.
I like that. Thank you, Pam. And Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I thought the song and this went well together because basically it's telling the story of, you know, you have all these memories. It's going on in pictures, but the pictures don't really tell all the stories what was going into them. In other words, how your family was acting at the time or how your friends were what was going on at the time. And it's just a frozen moment in time. And pictures don't always capture the whole story. And I think that's – and then at the end where she says, now I'm feeling calm, meaning – that the pictures are gone and now I'm on my own and now I've got to make my new memories. So it's kind of like how I relate to that poem. It's kind of interesting. I like how she did it at the end. Kind of twisted around.
Okay. I like that. Thank you, Greg. Wayne, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, it seemed like she talked about her, all the memories of her past and how she lived in the past and finally the pictures started falling and now she's not living the past anymore. She's standing on her own. And then making her own memories instead of depending on the memories that she had on the wall her whole life. She's kind of let them all fall, and now she's on her own and living tall. That's what I got out of it.
Excellent. I think you guys hit on it right with that last. Then nowhere to be found. There's no more pictures on the wall. Now I'm feeling tall. The idea of the past being separated from the now. So instead of being weighed down by the past, she can now stand tall because she shed that baggage, so to speak. So I like that too. Thank you, Jasna. You, Pam.
All right. Well, the next song we have up is Pride. So here we go.
Thank you.
That is very cool. That just totally rocks. And the poem we have to go with that one is Self-Love by My Angels 3. And Gress, go ahead, please, and give that a read for us.
All right. Self-Love by My Angels 3. I find it generally sad that it's taken most of my life to see through all the bad, but I persevere through all the strife. It can be truly heartbreaking to always feel unworthy, so you give it all without ever taking, never realizing that you're worthy, worthy of all the love and respect from everyone who's in your life, and never deserved any neglect or feeling the stab of someone's knife. When you have learned to truly accept yourself and all of your flaws, then you realize you've only kept yourself in this constant state of pause. When you finally love who you are, it's truly a freeing feeling. For in this life, you can go so far because you see that you're now healing. Healing from all the excruciating pain that may have to endure. But there is so much for us to gain in this life, I know for sure. After this happens, you will refuse to settle for less than you deserve because it will only light a fuse for you to love freely without reserve. Wow. Love that.
Great, great, great. Self-love. Thank you very much. Wayne, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, the poem in the song is about after a long time of just trying hard and living your life, finally being accepted by people around you that you care about. And sometimes it's a life. It's like in life, especially when you're young, people always tell you what to do and how to live, and you live your own life. And finally, after a certain time, people could go to accept you and learn how you're doing, and you feel a lot better about life once you're accepted. And they say, "Come on, you're all right." And it's all about being accepted. Great, great point.
Thank you, Wayne. Pam.
Yeah, I really like My Angels 3 poetry. She always has these writes with such an emotional impact. This is really powerful lines, and Gress, you did a great read of it. Wonderful rhyme and flow, heartfelt lines on learning to love and accept yourself, which can be particularly difficult for a person who grows up in an abusive household, who grows up feeling, not loved, neglected, abused. Trauma can be a difficult thing to overcome, and I feel like that this is part of, this speaks on that idea of healing from past traumas. I really like when you finally love who you are, it's truly a freeing feeling. For in this life, you can go so far because you see that you're now healing from all of the excruciating pain that you may have had to endure. But there is so much for us to gain in this life, I know now for sure. I feel like this should be written on a plaque, hung on the wall of an office or of a place that helps people who go through abuse. And so they can see of that idea of that hope and that freedom that can be found within learning to love yourself. So excellent write and very well done.
All right. Thank you, Pam. Gretch, you got to read it. Well, what do you think?
Okay. This in the song, it's basically that everybody around you is just hoping that whatever you do, you're going to fail at. I love that song. I never heard it before until just now. And basically it's like, you're basically, everybody's against you. And I think what she was getting at is that you can have that pressure against you. Everybody's wanting you to fail. But if you don't recognize yourself first and then understand yourself, that you'll let that pressure get to you. And until you can give yourself love and you can truly experience putting yourself up there. In other words, don't always beat yourself down. And that's one of the problems I have, to be honest with you. I always beat myself down whenever I write and stuff like that. Like, but I love this part right here where she says, "You, when you finally love who you are, it's truly a freeing feeling, for in this life you go so far because you see that you're now healing." Because once you've accepted the fact that you are who you are and you know what you're going to do, there's not much else you can do about yourself other than to understand yourself and put it out there that you do love yourself. And I really thought this was very well done. I think this is, like Pam said, this is something that a lot of people could relate to in their lives, because a lot of times we don't think we're good enough and we don't think we can do anything. And I think she did a great job here.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I think the title sets the stage itself, and that opening stanza points out how hard things can be. But she hits on some number of points that when you've learned to truly accept yourself and all of your flaws, then you realize you've only kept yourself in this constant state of force. That's a nice note right there of, you might have people, as she does it, stabbing you in the back, so to speak, but the one that's keeping you where you are really is yourself arguing with that point. Accept, like you said, Brett, accept who you are, every bit of it. The broken glass feelings and the happy feelings, they're all a part of that individual. So once you get to that point, three stanzas, the last four stanzas, walk on that note of where the healing comes in and what comes back on you. After this happens, you will refuse to settle for less than you deserve, because it will only light a fuse for you to love freely without reserve. A great finish from the opening notes of heartache and sadness, and walking into self-acceptance on a level that they themselves can deal with and function properly under. So, my angel, thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, I'd like to welcome Zach to the show. Welcome,
Hello.
Zach. Glad you could join
hey.
Us.
Good to be here.
Hey, Zach.
How are you?
I feel so privileged. I'm like surrounded by good-looking men. Oh my goodness! I might need another lady to join us just so I can handle y'all.
There ain't nobody on the board.
Yeah.
Except men.
And Zach, did you get a chance to read My Angel's 3 poem?
Self-love, I did. I managed to do a little bit of a scan, and I liked how, especially they take most of their lives to see through all the bad. That just alone says so much. And it's heartbreaking. You don't deserve to backstab. I felt that. And if you like focus on it too much, it will keep you in the past. It will keep you in pace, or in backwards rather than forwards. So I really like that. Just keeping that sense of momentum going, and instead of just staying in the same place or backwards, like choose just back one step forward, so to speak, kind of thing. I really like that.
All right. Thank you, Zach.
And next up to go with that song, we have Haven't You Learned by Liquid Mind Forever. And Rex, go ahead, please, and give that a read for us.
All right. Haven't You Learned by Liquid Mind Forever. You're not good enough. No, no, not nearly. You're not good enough. Too bad. It's tough to be not good enough. That's low self-esteem stuff. You're not good enough. No, no. Truth. That clearly. Didn't we teach you to stay within your means? That means clean your room, stay unseen. Pretty is as pretty does, but you does beans. Didn't we teach you not to reach for the stars? Haven't you learned how inferior you are? Why should we buy you a goddamn car? Your cousin's so much smarter by far. Why haven't you learned your scabbed over scar? You tell us you want to enlist, go to war, fight for right, make a fresh clean start. But haven't we taught you, haven't we? You're just not good enough. No, no, not nearly. Haven't you learned how inferior you are? Why should we buy your goddamn car? Your cousin's so much smarter by far. Haven't you learned you're a scabbed over scar? You tell us you're trying to break the mold, get out before you're too damn old. But we keep telling you, all that glitter's not gold. Time and time and time again, you've been told. Haven't you learned how inferior you are? Why should we buy your goddamn car? Your cousin's so much smarter by far. Haven't you learned you're a scabbed over scar? Get yourself in this ego's trippy trip. You're just not good enough. Shut your lip. You're not equipped. You're a flippy dip blip. Kiddo, clean your room. You're a misfit. You're not good enough. No, no, not nearly. You're not good enough. Too bad. It's tough to not be good enough. That's low self-esteem stuff. You're not good enough. No, no. Truth said, clearly. And Zach, why don't we start with you, Pete?
Sure. To me, it just seemed like the self-imposed negative self-talk brought on by like a parental or an authoritarian figure. And haven't you learned to train kind of drives that forward. Makes the piece kind of drives its own momentum forward and along with the sporadic rhyme. And by the end, I just really grew tired of that voice. It's like, I love the poem by the end of it. I was just so negative. I was just like, dear Lord, please, like, get me out of here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Zach. And Greg, how about you?
That was a beat down for sure, man. It was like, goddamn Carl. Why should we buy you, goddamn Carl? Your cousin's much smarter by far. Haven't you learned you're a scabbed over scar? Wow. Basically, you're a scab beyond the existence of the flesh of human kind, man. That's kind of tripping. I love it, though. I love the wording and the phrasing and the repeating of that several times throughout the poem. I thought it was a good relationship to the song. I thought she did a great job on that. Very good.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Wayne, how about you?
Yes, this poem is definitely about someone who's never accepted wanted to live in a home, and they're telling them they're too old to live there, so they should move out. They shouldn't get a car. They don't clean the room right. There's nothing they do all the way through the poem that pleases the so-called parent or who's in charge there. And so it's really putting a little self-esteem on the person they're talking about and never letting up on it all the way through the poem. It's still completely pounding them all the time. It's sad. But it's a sad way to go through life.
Thank you very much. And Pam, what about you?
Yeah, I really – no, you haven't caught me yet. I have to agree with everybody, but, especially when Zach and Gress both said about how it's like – it's like a poem you just – love to hate and hate to love, because the genius of her talent in using these hard-hitting lines, this spot-on, rhyme and flow, it has a great lyrical quality, and she really perfects the inner voice that is brought on by that emotional abuse from a parent figure or an authority figure. I really like the use of repetition because it is like having basically a nail pounded, into your palm or something like that, or, being hit over the head with a hammer. And it works with this great effect. And the use of questioning, haven't you learned how inferior you are? Why should we buy you a goddamn car? Your cousin's so much smarter by far. Haven't you learned you're a scabbed over scar? She has really great wordplay she pulls off this voice so well that it does make you grit your teeth while at the same time admiring her poetic prowess. So, excellent write and very well done.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, this is pretty harsh. it does hit on that idea of the evil mean stepmother, the Cinderella angle, except there is no happy ending, because by the time you get to the finish, it says no, no, truth said clearly. So it's already been ingrained to the point. There ain't going to be any happy endings here. No magic ball and the prince and all that stuff, or however you look at it. But it just walks that note of somebody who can crack the whip and make sure you know who and what they are, what they think of you, and how it's ingrained from the moment you were delivered onto that mess. Damn. Harsh. Thank you, Dee. All right, Pam.
All right. And Gress and Wayne, I haven't forgotten about you too, and I will be getting to you shortly. But the first next song I'm going to play is Rescue.
Just
All right, Kim.
Oh. All right. And to go with that, I have put my poem up, which is called The Cross of Fame on Bleeding Shoulders. And it goes like this. Baby boy grew up into a bonny man who wrote some catchy lyrics while frying up a can of Spam. They told him it was wicked good. They told him it was a groovy tune, the kind of catchy serenade that would make the lady swoon. But he was the one that knew the truth, bits of ugly so uncouth. Every scrumptious word, it was a lie. He gets paid to make sure everyone gets laid. He doesn't feel good about himself. In fact, he really hates himself. He doesn't feel good about himself. In fact, he really hates himself. He knows he made a real blunder when he wrote a one-hit wonder. He wrote the song for the masses to get the adoration of the asses. Every time he hears it played over a grocery store intercom, it stabs another piece of glass into the soul he's slowly losing. He should have wrote the blues while he had the chance. Now he's stuck in the leg show line of a pop song karma dance. He got himself a bunch of side gals. He's got a trophy wife, all the bling that he could want, but where's the meaning in life? Too many times he's strutted the stage. Too many times he's kissed the cage. And the gods of sugar-coated songs keep dragging him along. He thinks of singing indie rock, of showing them his raw cock-a-doodle-doo. But it's too late. The fans have spoken. He wears their worship as a token. He knows his life is a sham beneath the costumes and the glam. A poet lives in quiet ruins, creating magic with the druids. Yes, baby boy became a man, the Barabbas that the people wanted. The crowd keeps on chanting his name. He knows he holds the cross of fame. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Wayne, why don't we start with you, please?
This is a very good poem. I like the way you read it, too. It's about a guy who just, no matter what he does, he doesn't accept himself. People keep telling him how good he is, and the fans still cheer him, but he still wants somebody to say something that he never gets. And it's like he's always listening to something, and he's looking for some way somehow to feel like he's accepted. But he walks through the poem, he never really has accepted himself. Where everybody else seems accepting, he didn't ever accept himself. Very good point, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne. Gress, how about you?
Well, you know, there's some of those things in there that I can put against myself. He doesn't feel good about himself. In fact, he really hates himself. He doesn't feel good about himself. In fact, he really hates himself. but I kind of like, it's like the one-hit wonder. I don't know if y'all remember, it was called the Jaggers. And they had a one-hit wonder, and the guy said he had never written a song. Because it basically was not something they wanted to do, but they was basically forced to do. And they had that one-hit wonder, and that was it. And then that's all they're remembered for. No matter how much music they tried to produce after that, they never could actually have another big hit. And it was not something – that was not the type of music they was writing, but it was like, you know, that's what the record company made them do. So I kind of get that feel for that because – you know, sometimes you get, you know, you're all hyped on your artistry, but, you know, you got to pay the bills too. So I kind of understand that from that. And that was great storytelling, Pam. Great job.
Thank you.
Nice. Zach, how about you?
Oh, fantastic. What brought to mind, I know it's not as extreme, but like I brought to mind like a Kurt Cobain kind of figure, just like emotionally abusing himself until the fame becomes like a tool of self-destruction. And the idea of like a fame being like a double-edged sword, like you got the genuine magic of the truth, of like actual writing a true song. And then like the fakeness, the fake bravado that the crowd sees, and it's just putting on the show until it's just kind of like an inner sort of turmoil. It's like, what is this? What are you doing here? You know?
I like that. Very cool.
Well, I'm going to go with two movies. Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg and Eddie and the Cruises. But they did find their way out. This one, as you note, the thought of adding Barabbas in there, the stuck on the cross of fame, so to speak, is selling your soul to the devil, those supposedly music industry types who know what they want out there, yet it's never what you want to give, it's only what they want, and they tell you to write, as Gress said. So it's that idea of bowing down for the money, the fame, and the women, so to speak, but never getting to produce what you really wanted to. And if he had any balls, he'd dip out and go back to his roots.
I like that. Great observations there, Rex. And thank you very much for the inspiration.
All right, what we got next?
All right, well, the next song we're going to play is Going Up.
Thank you.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco gold is badass.
Oh, that hello weed.
Oh, too funny. All right. And the first poem we have to go with that song is I Saw Him Go There by Wayne Gent. And Wayne, you were nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Yeah, I did a lot of reading between the lines.
This is called I Saw Him Go There by Wayne Gent. I've been watching him, analyzing him. Ain't much of a talker, just a rusty junker squawker. He's shaking up to say, pull the plug today and get history out of the way. There are things that shouldn't and couldn't be. Don't you want to see? Don't you want to see? It's going up. It's going to blow up, up, up. Better get the hell out of here. Out of here. I'm not being clear. Now I'm going down. I like the sound. What's wrong with the world? What's wrong with the world? People with no flowers in their hair? No, I can't believe he went there. Yeah, he went there. We need to get a piece of chance. Yeah, he likes to dance. We need to get a piece of chance. Watch him dance if you get a chance. But get a piece of chance. I saw John Lennon open the door. He could have said more. Could have said more. I think I hear an echo. I think I hear an echo. That's all I know. Ken?
Nice. Thank you for the SoundCloud, Wayne. Very much appreciated. All right, Pam.
Yeah, that was pretty. Oh, that was groovy. I really enjoyed that. The use of rhyme and repetition, wonderful imagery, great lyrical quality. I felt like it had a mad dash, topsy-turvy vibe to it on the echoes of past music and voices heard throughout history. You know, how sometimes people say too much, but sometimes they say too little. I really like the nod to John Lennon and the nod to the Doors. I thought that was really cool. And I especially like the end stanza and this. Now I'm going down like the sound. What's wrong with the world? What's wrong with the world? People with no flowers in their hair. No, I can't believe he went there. Yeah, he went there. Very cool lines and very well done.
Thank you, Sam. Zach, how about you?
I love the thinking of come together. The questioning sort of like forever skepticism that Lennon embodied. I felt that there. And he goes there. He goes there again and again. I love the fly eye sort of perspective of John Lennon, like sort of like I'd imagine him like in a bar, just putting in like stuff on the jukebox. And by the end, it's kind of devastating, of course, because the murder is acknowledged with the echo, and then you're left with this parting thoughts, and it's very tragic, and you just wonder what else he could have written.
Great comment.
Thank you, Ben. And Greg, how about you?
Well, I love Wayne. He always does a great presentation on that, and I thought the words fit with the background music very well. And it's like, you know, like we have so many idiots in the world, and it's like we tend to let the idiots run the world, and instead of us like taking control of it, I think we do need to give peace a chance. The problem is that the idiots that are in charge of most of the countries are just exactly that, which is idiots. And until we get that part of it solved, I don't think we'll ever have a chance at peace. But I love the vibe. It's kind of harkens back to the early 70s, and I love that part of the history of the world, because we were in a world that was a little bit less stressful, right? So after all the stuff that went in the 60s and then the early 70s was mostly just love and peace and that type of stuff. So I loved it, Wayne. Great job.
Thank you, Bruce.
Great comments, everyone. I'm going to go on the back end of this. Those two lines to finish out, so to speak. I think I hear an echo. I think I hear an echo. That's all I know. The idea of that echo being a kind of note to rolling back, as Gress said, to the 60s, early 70s, that note of revolutionary appeal, where all of a sudden you've got a lot of people pushing back to the point where we need to go this route, not this way. Y'all are fucking us up, and we're not going down that road. So that's my thoughts.
Thank you for coming. Good job.
Excellent. Thank you, Wayne. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, hold on. I'm having a little technical problems. Can you grab Jody Melton's poem and have Zach read it, please?
Okay. Here we go. There you go, Zach.
Hey.
Soulful Stroll by Jody Melton.
Soulful Stroll. In the swift dance of life, a frenzied trance, we speed through days in a relentless advance, yet heed this truth in haste. We only glean a surface view where only flesh is seen. Blurred landscapes rush, a fleeting array, moments lost in the fervor of the day, so we should dare to slow our hurried stride. A deeper essence in stillness we will bide. In the quiet realm where time takes a breath, the soul unveils its dance, defying death. No longer shackled by the rush and roar, a symphony of spirit forevermore. Gaze beyond the skin, the temporal veneer, discover realms unknown, crystal clear. As seconds stretch and minutes gently unfold, the soul's whispers, a story untold. Amid the chaos, find the tranquil pace, embrace the stillness, let it leave its trace. For in the quiet, where moments abide, the soul's poetry and serenity resides. A canvas of existence, both fast and slow, and every heartbeat, a rhythmic ebb and flow. So in life's sprint, or leisurely stroll, find the balance between both heart and soul. For if we rush, blinded by the swift, the soul's essence, a silent drift, but in slowness, a revelation unfolds, a timeless tale where eternity molds. End poem.
Great read, Zach. Thank you very much. Gress, why don't we start with you, please?
I'm taking it all in. I'm trying to, what the first two stanzas talking about, like how we don't see the moments as they're going through this, and next thing you know, we're already through it. And then the end of the poem, which is for if we rush, blended by the swift, the soul's essence a silent drift, but in slowness the revelation unfolds. In other words, should we rush through life like we should, or should we just take in those moments where it's truly need? I think everybody has that, where we just want to get to the next week, or we want to get to the big event in our life, or we've got next year I'll be retired, or those types of things. We kind of like rushing through our life just to get to the next part that we think is going to be the best part. And I think what this poem does is tells you well that we should take our life as it comes to us, but also imagine it every day can be significant. I think that's really good.
Excellent. Thank you, Greg. Wayne, how about you?
Yeah, this poem talks of all the distractions of life and all the bad things like that. She starts out, and then she finally goes to a place that where she can go that's where it's nice and tranquil, and she enjoys song and poetry, and enjoy life a lot better, where just the balance between heart and soul, she says, and more easily stroll, where she just take it easy and enjoy life and get rid of all the bad stuff of life. Just go to the happy place. That's what I got out of it.
Nice. Thank you. Pam, what about you?
Yes, I thought this was beautiful. Really thoughtful lines that to me spoke on the importance of taking care of your spirit as much as your body. Finding those things that bring you inner peace and balance and the need to really just basically slow down and, as they say, smell the roses. I really liked the imagery in blurred landscapes, rush, a fleeting array, moments lost in the fervor of the day. But should we dare to slow our hurried stride, a deeper essence and stillness will bide. I like how that speaks on the importance of slowing down. And I also really like a canvas of existence flow in every heartbeat, a rhythmic ebb and flow. You basically have to learn how to balance life out. So amazing, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Zach, you got to read it. How about you?
I love the measured pace and the feeling of like you truly should, it's preferred to live life to the fullest and live life like there is no tomorrow. Sort of like let the ebb and flow take you rather where you want to go rather than going for the rush. And that rushing itself is very timeless, I think, and that trait is I think that's very cool. It's concrete, and it stretches on sort of like you can see eternity stretching on afterwards. It's brought on by like not rushing. I could feel like it's stretching. It's very cool.
Absolutely. I think it's noted. Life is too swift and short to begin with. So the general idea of missing those little details we take for granted, not breathing in that nice forest air, watching an eagle or a hawk dive bomb for its food, missing out on those singular moments that actually leave an impression as opposed to the detritus that we're constantly filled with, which our mind drops out here and there because it's garbage and doesn't hold any value, but yet we're continuously bombarded with it. And that idea of not just stopping to smell the roses, so to speak, but stopping to take absolute notice of the abundance in the awe of life itself, what surrounds you, what you can hear on the wind, what whistles through the trees, what runs across the lawn, just the little things that offer up a note to, hey, you know what? We're not here very long. We should be enjoying, as you said, we should be enjoying every single second of every single minute of every single hour of every single day. So nicely touched upon, Jody. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. Back to you.
All right, the next song we're going to play is Crocodile.
Thank you.
back then. And this was our biggest entry.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, I like it too. Awesome stuff. And the first poem I have up to go with that song is Junk Mail by Agrisman. And if I remember right, Gress, you were nice enough also to supply us with a SoundCloud.
Yeah.
So let me find it. Here we go.
Junk Mail by Grassman. I saw it somewhere online today. People no longer do it that way. So I'm living in the past. It's okay. Breaking my phone, my hair is gray. I threw down my Apple, dreaming about Snapple when things were less complicated. And I wasn't so sedated. I'm driving without Google Maps. No napping between my naps. Can't wonder where it went at all. Or the older you get, you're sure to fall. Living in the insanity of living, where old age isn't forgiven. Don't ask because you know it too. Don't ask because you know it too. So you haven't heard the news. Marijuana has replaced the booze. Taking it one day at a time, spitting up my terrible rhymes. What does this postman do today? Deliver crap we throw away. He said, I got a job to do. I said, just keep that junk you got. He said, I got a job to do. I guess I'll use that coupon page. Guessing again, I showed my age.
Great read, Greg. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Pam.
Oh, man, this totally rocked. I have to admit I didn't listen to the SoundCloud earlier, so I wasn't really sure what to expect. Honestly, because of the spot-on rhyme and the repetition, for some reason I was expecting like a rap-type thing to happen, like DJ Gress. But I love the delivery of this, how you did that whole like bluesy feel. I mean, and the fact that you combine this hard-hitting and edgy grittiness with humor worked so very well on to write about the reality of life and how, like, we expect, like, we get to a certain age and we expect things to be a certain way, and then when they change, we just don't handle it very well. And I love Snapple thrown in. I threw down my Apple dreaming about Snapple when things were less complicated and I wasn't so sedated. I'm driving without Google Maps, no napping between my naps. Can't wonder where it went at all. Or the older you get, you're sure to fall. Man, I tell you, old age is definitely filled with a bunch of crap, that's for sure. You just bring it all. This is great, Gress. Very well done.
Thank you, Pia. Wayne, how about you?
Oh, Wayne had to go.
All right, Zach?
I liked how the speaker seemed to be foregoing any expensive materialism with the Apple, smashing the Apple product. And I liked how there's the paradigm shift between booze and weeds, kind of like shifting between the times a bit. It was like we're in Prohibition all over again in a way. And truly knowing what is worth and what is worth, like, value as you age rather than anything superfluous. I really like that.
All right. Thank you, Dex. Although this does hit on the idea of age and the complication that comes with it, yes, but you also hit on that thought of going back in time, because between the Apple phone, computers, and you have some Google Maps, we've forgotten, or today's the last two generations have no idea how to navigate anything without it being done for them. In other words, we're kind of teaching a stupid race at the moment, because the idea of reading a map, hey, what happens when the whole thing hits the shitter? It's the old folks who are going to know what the hell to do because they can read maps, and the younger generation doesn't even know what a map is. But I do like the note of the coupon page at the back end. That also hits the idea of once you get to that age, all of a sudden you're kind of stark and strapped. You need the coupon page to help get your food. I like this. It's funny.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, Pam, where we go next?
All right. Up next, we will have The In-Between by Lockdown Larks. And there it is. So, Rex, go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
The In-Between by Lockdown Larks. You're no fun anymore, just looking at your screen. Can't you do it like before, when there was no in-between? Gotta come on, gotta shake. Look around, yeah, look around. Tomorrow could be an earthquake. It's today, you're on the ground. Just looking at your screen, and nothing can come between. I'm creeping in my Crocs. You can't hear, you can't see. Just come back from the docks. He's saying, I've got the big C. Just looking at your screen, but nothing can come between. I'm not trying to attack. I just want to be heard. Don't want to just see your back. Help me, please. Exchange a word. Just looking at your screen and nothing can come between. It's coming down tomorrow. There's no doubt about it. In tears, you'll drown in sorrow. Too late when life has spilt. Just looking at your screen, but nothing can come between. End poem. All right, Pam, let's start with you.
Great read there, Rex. I really liked this one. As always, it's a wonderful rhyming poem by Lockdown Larks. Really powerful lines. I like how he writes a story from the perspective of someone who's going through a lot, and the perspective also of living with somebody who doesn't notice what's going on. A person so addicted to their screen time that they're completely oblivious to the fact that their significant other is dealing with cancer and dealing with this weight on their shoulder. Just looking at your screen and nothing can come between. I'm creeping in my Crocs. You can't hear. You can't see. Just come back from the docks. He's saying I've got the big C. I mean, those are really hard-hitting lines and a deep look at what it feels like to be rejected to feel rejected basically because the TV or the computer is so much more important to this person. So very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Dan. Wayne, how about you? Oh, I mean, Wayne left. All right. Greg,
yep.
Sorry.
Hey, I really like this because it's basically kind of like the song is saying, is like we're so wrapped up in something of our own nature that we don't really care what everybody else has got going on. It's like in the song, I think the song says, you know, it says like at the end is like, what about tomorrow? And the guy says, hey, I don't care about that tomorrow. I only care about what's going on today. So it's kind of like the exchange between both the poem and the song comes back to things like we all do it some occasionally. Somebody will tell you bad news, and then you just kind of like, oh, okay, sorry about that, and I'll pray for you or I'll do something for you. But it's like, what really can you do kind of moments, you know? It's like other than, you acknowledge it. And I think that's kind of like what he's saying here is like, it's coming down tomorrow. There's no doubt about it. And tears you'll drown in sorrow too late when life has it spilt. And it's true. It's like, I don't know. It's like so many times people get my age is like, I find out people that I used to grow up with, they're no longer here on this earth. And it's kind of like, You kind of, your little existence is going to come to end soon, and you're like, oh, my God. It's like you can't understand how somebody your age just passed away, and then you're like, well, you know, I'm in my 60s now. I guess it's about time, isn't it? But But yeah, I like this. It's a very good job on the poem and the, relating to the song.
Thank you, Chris. Zach, how about you?
I loved. I could just see my generation or younger just kind of hunched over with their phone, like kind of just right up to their face, nothing letting nothing between come between them and their phone. And think it's something to think about because. You've got nothing insured that really that personal bubble, like bad stuff's going to happen. You're going to get isolated. I love that great flow and refrain throughout. Very like cool maintaining the structure. And I like the importance of staying in the moment too and being self-aware and just not gluing myself to the screen as much. So that was very cool.
Nice. Thank you. That note to the screen, that's a hard look at a well, life today. It was supposed to open up the doors in the world and make it a much smaller place with the access to anything and everything. Yet, it's actually been more of a divider because you can catch people in the same house using their cell phone or messaging when all you have to do is go downstairs. Hey, the interpersonality of speaking one-on-one is kind of lost because now everybody's doing it online. When you got the odd notes, the chat speak, and you got the different languages on that end to try and walk through. Yes, I don't realize they're pissing away the lives through mechanics and not actually living in the moment, which is a sad note too. So thank you, Lark. Nicely done. All right, Pam. What we got next?
All right. Up next, we have Your Alligator Shoes by Ima Rima. And I did post it. It got covered with a little bit of conversation. I'll go ahead and post it again. And Gress had to go just to let you know. So have a good night, Gress. And
bye, Gress.
Your Alligator Shoes by Ima Rima. I saw you come walking towards me. Fancy alligator shoes you wore were first of you I did see. And the old instincts in me grew that you and I were going to meet. And one of us the blues would get. I started with your well-shoed feet. More I went up, more you did fret. As more and more of you went down. Till just your head left after, while upon your face, a real sad frown, upon my face, a happy smile, and then this crocodile did choose to wear your alligator shoes. End poem.
Great read there, Pam. Thank you very much. Zach, what do you think?
I just thought it was sad. I felt saddened by it. I felt like drawn in by the allure of the well-kept shoe, the alligator shoe, but it felt false by the end. It felt like crocodile tears by the end of it, and just didn't feel human. It felt reptilian, in fact. Yeah. Just kind of, I just kind of felt like the nasty green poison, you know?
Nice. Thank you, Zach. Pam?
Yeah. You know, it is one of those poems that does throw you off in a bit. And then you realize when you get to the end that it's told from the point of view of a crocodile who sees somebody, you know, walking around with alligator feet and shoes and decides they're going to get some revenge. But, you know, I have to say that up until the end, there's some parts where it almost has like a dark cat and mouse sensuality to it. The more I went up, more you did fret, as more and more of you went down, and you're thinking, oh, well, this sounds like some fun games they're playing. And then you realize, like Zach says, it really throws you for a loop when you realize that there's nothing fun going on. The person is getting eaten. And great take on the prompt, that I love that you could take it either metaphorically or literally. and very well done.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to go with meat eating. You might think you're all that shit in your fancy alligator shoes, but the beast is the crocodile, the one who's hungry, the one who lurks, and the one who has no problem eating what's around because don't like it, don't like you. You come up at me and with your shit, I'm going to chew you up, spit you out, and I'm going to wear your alligator shoes as a reward.
I like that. Very cool.
All right. Oops. What we got next?
Well, it would help if I actually grabbed the next poem. So let me go ahead and do that. And up next, we have Crocodile Flush Down the Drain, That's Me by Papa Terminus. And go ahead, please, Zach, and give that a read for us.
Crocodile Flush Down the Drain, That's Me by Papa Terminus. If you've ever seen Caesar on your TV screen, that's me, sitting on a jewel-encrusted throne. It's an artificial, intelligent fantasy, let out in the cold like a popsicle. I'll freeze, a broken toy soldier on the battlefield. That's me, my tiny voice shouts out. Then comes the cavalry charging, tiny whistle for a dictator, Napoleon Dungarees. I hear a ministry, a congregation praying, that's me, from inside the chapel bells ring. Lichen grows from the wall while the reaper mows the steeple down, singing hymns from the period of blue when the moon shadowed every step. In the jungle, I heard the monkeys screaming, that's me. These are the chapters written in the books I've read from a library for the undead, where all you zombies lose your heads as another crocodile gets flushed down the drain. That's me, and Paul.
Great read, Zach. Thank you very much. All right, Cam, what do you think?
That was a great read. I do wish that Papa Terminus could have called in like he planned, but, you know, it would have been really nice to hear from him. But I think Zach did a wonderful read, and I really like this. The energy of this poem fits so well with not only the vibe of the song, but the band in general. And I like his use of the echoing with the, that's me. There's almost this over-exaggerated excitement, this idea of notice me, within that repetition. I really thought this had brilliant imagery and metaphors and clever lines with a great lyrical quality. And the main thing it spoke to me on was the idea of the struggle to express individuality in a world that often prefers to flush it away, or the idea of the crocodile, the goldfish, you know, those things flushed down the toilet that we no longer need. And that I really like a broken toy soldier on the battlefield. That's me, my tiny voice shouts out, then comes the cavalry a charge and penny whistle for a dictator, Napoleon in dungarees. I hear a ministry, a congregation praying, that's me, from inside the chapel, church bells ring, lichen grows from the wall, while the reaper mows the steeple down. You know, powerful lines that are both very they're abstract, and yet they have a strong message on the idea of how we much prefer to just sit around and pray rather than take notice of the broken soldier or the dying people that need help. And the chaos of the world falling apart, Amazing lines and very well done.
Thank you, Jim. Zach, how about you? You got to read it.
I loved it. I loved how it seems that the speaker is seeing himself and other people a lot, almost to the point of, like, it's almost like an exhausted kind of empathy. But by the end of it, he's just losing all of his energy. And within every sort of refrain, I just imagine, like, REM, you know, that's me in the corner, that's me in the spotlight, losing my religion. I felt that was in every refrain, just the need to just kind of focus on that that being within the stanza for each refrain. But it's hard to do that, I imagine, when there's so many times you got to do that, you kind of lose yourself along the way, and that must be difficult.
I like that. Yes, definitely with the, because he kind of breaks it down into little chunks, the sees on your TV screen, the broken soldier, the congregation, the screaming monkey, that's me, the idea of you looking into those tidbits, yes, that's me as an individual, but it's also that's me as the whole, because the final one hits on the idea of what he's, the history he's digging into. These are the chapters written in the books I've read from A Library for the Undead, where all you zombies lose your heads as another crocodile gets flushed down the drain. And then that's me. The final refrain is the idea that he's the one doing the learning while you guys have not paid enough attention to history to realize that's you. That ain't me. I ain't going to go that way. So I like that idea. Thank you, Papa T. All right, Dan.
Right. Well, the next song we have is Stars Are Stars. And here we go.
Perfect timing. We got two pieces left in it. Both SoundClouds.
Yes, that is nice. All right. So the next poem we have up is I on a Whirlwind Journey with by Jaskaran. And yes, we do have an SoundCloud for this. Here we go.
I on a whirlwind journey, journey from birth unto death. I open a migranting modern offshore world, newness or day. Human, what is our trade-offs, looking with tender skin, broken empty by thunder legends, with laughter gushing about in bird cubes. Eking of a fire, mundaning with imploring, returning celebration, waiting for the assurance, taking a bed to bid adieu to his listening. Stepping into an unreal tunnel, deep in the shadowy gloom, the creator's doom that gave path. I ran in the vision, a miracle hung around a week, and thereafter never left my shadow. Her alluring eyes, my only escape from this maddening world. And seeking strength with deep fragrance, telling the secrets of her moods, we will see her as you passing by the door. I can still smell the indoor, slowly dripping, giving a detaining effect on skin, red filled upon leaves, as autumn paints its way, fall hues reducing fast, then folding all the withered leaves, cherry blossoming spring. The sunset gains the red horizon. As I ponder what that means, the world grows dark behind me. A city with falls from the lips, eyes shut beyond warning. As I paint my way calm, and offer artwork, visual nuance, autumn with the cries, disturbing placid waters, these golden brown tears. Thank you.
Great read, Jaskaran. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Zach, why don't we start with you?
Very sad. Just struck immediately by the heaviness of it. The soaking, like kind of drooping tears just soaking into me. I felt like it was myself in a way. The trope of rain is felt throughout. And it's not like a cold and different kind of rain. It's a rain that doesn't make me feel alone, and I could feel the loneliness of the speaker, but I, at the same time, I felt like comforted by at least the presence of the rain. So I was fortunate for that.
Hi. Thank you, Zach. Pam?
Yeah, as always, Zach, Jaskaran has amazing imagery and metaphors. And a real emotional charge to the poem. I like how this speaks to me on the idea of the journey, the seasons of life, taking a journey through them from birth till death, you know, the ups and downs that we go through. You know, how oftentimes, we can become overwhelmed by the heaviness of it all. I really particularly like part three. I can still smell raindrops slowly dripping, giving titillating effects on skin, red spilled upon leaves and autumn paints. As autumn paints its way, fall's hues replacing flowers and folding of the withered leaves, cherry blossoming in spring. I like that the cherry blossoms represent that beauty that is so profound and yet so extremely temporary. Amazing, right, and very well done.
All right, thanks, Dan. I like the title, but that note, the opening, the journey from birth until death. You get birth in that first stanza. Eyes opening, a miracle entering mortals' obscured world. Newness of the day, the moment puddles of teardrops soaking my tender skin, broken abruptly by thunderous jubilance with laughter gushing about and buried cable, echoing off my fur, my tiny feet imploring to join the celebration, bringing forth the assurance, taking a pledge to bid adieu to their suffering. That's a great opening note. The second one kind of walks in that the middle angle of life, so to speak. Understanding the secrets of silent woods, misty haze through casting white shadows. And then the third one walks in the autumn of life. I can still smell raindrops slowly dripping, giving a titillating effect on skin, red spilled upon leaves, and autumn paints its way, false hues replacing flowers, then folding of the withered leaves, cherry blossoming in spring. The idea of remembering those notes of you. And then the back end is offering that note to the journey from beginning to end, death. Sunset paints the red horizon. As I ponder what light remains, the world grows darker behind me. A shaky breath falls from my lips, eyes shut without warning. As I paint my way calm, an obscure artwork with hidden nuance. Autumn willow cries, disturbing plastic waters with golden brown tears. Another lovely piece there, Jasper, and thank you very much. All right.
Great comments, Rex. All right. Well, we're coming up on our last poem of the night. I have to say, isn't it crazy? I mean, between the callers we had and the SoundClouds made, you and I only had to read two poems each the entire night.
Well, not really, because I put this one together. It took me a long time.
Well, okay. So, but you read this one, or you put this one together earlier. I kind of figured this was you, but still, I only had to read two, so I'm good with that.
It's a good time.
All right.
And
well, I am definitely looking forward to this one. This is The Chumpions of the World by Lawrence 67, with a performed by Intimidus Rex. And let me find it. Here we go.
The Chumpions of the World, the continuing adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie in The Touchdown. Dangling Don here, coming to you live from Chumpstar Stadium on the Fat Cat Network. Well, folks, it's fourth down and goal to go. The Pampsters are down to their last play. Can they pull off a miracle? Look, Pam. I got my guy beat. Just a pump fake, then launch the bomb. I'll run it down for the win. Break. What a game, folks. If you're just tuning in, the Rexters with their lightning fast Ralph Ralph the Chihuahua Nightmare and the legendary Sexy Rexy have a 6-point lead and are playing prevent defense against the notorious gunslinger, the Pamster. One play left to decide it all. Ready? Down. 54. 54. 23. 23. Set. Hike. Pam steps back. Could it be? Open. I'm open. Hit me, Pam. Pam rears back and unleashes a bomb. It hangs in the air, a majestic spiral descending like a snowflake towards the paws of Nigel. Touchdown! Touchdown! We have a touchdown. The mighty Rexters have been dethroned. Or have they? Wait a minute, folks. There's a flag on the field. Boo! Boo! The ref's a bum! Boo! Hang him up by the short hairs! Boo! Kill him! kill the refs. After further review, the previous play has been overruled. There was no touchdown, Rexter's ball. Apparently, and most unfortunately, Pam, in the heat of the moment, launched her stiletto instead of the pigskin. Time runs out, and the Rexters retain their title, the champions of the world. What a great finish, and good night, folks, from the Fat Cat Network, coming to you live from Jumpstar Stadium.
Well, bravo on that performance there, Rex. Oh, my goodness. Round of applause. That was too cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was fun.
Yeah, it seemed like you had fun with that.
Zach, what do you think of Lawrence's piece here?
Thoroughly entertaining, like a radio serial read by a really goofy announcer, like more like a wrestling announcer than anything, like the low growls. It didn't bring to mind any kind of football for me. But I love the sentiments of the sporting, the flow of it. I hope that's worthwhile to say, because I was just laughing the entire time. I was trying to think of something worthwhile to say, but it's just it's very goofy, and I like the ending too, just ending on a note of like anticlimactic goofiness. Very well done.
All right. Thank you, Zach. All right, Pam.
Oh, I really enjoyed this one. Not only the right, which has Lawrence's great sense of humor, but your performance of it, Rex, where you did the old-time radio announcer. You know, I could totally see you with your like 1930s style hat, you know, leaning into the giant microphone, you know, making your announcements. I mean, your ability to go back and forth through the different voices is awesome. And the storytelling in this and the humor, oh my goodness, Lawrence, I think this is just one of the all-time best. The Chihuahua Nightmare and the legendary Sexy Rexy have a 6-point lead and are playing prevent defense against the notorious gunslinger, the Pampster. One play left to decide it all. And then when he comes in with the crowd booing and, you know, murmurs of confusion. And then, of course, in the touchdown, has ruled the touchdown illegal. Unfortunately, Pam, in the heat of the moment, launched her stiletto instead of the pigskin. And I know sports so little. That would be something I would do, honest to God, except for the fact that I don't wear stilettos, but I would definitely probably end up throwing a shoe rather than an actual ball. So I just, man, so clever and very well done.
Thank you, guys. Lawrence, I had a howl with this. I'm glad I did go with the sound clap so I could get this down the way I wanted to instead of trying to do it ad lib in the moment. It worked out a little better, especially with the I found those crowd sound effects that dropped in. Add a little bit of background to it. I liked it. Thank you very much, Lawrence. I appreciate it. This is a howl. All right, Pam.
Great show tonight, Rex.
We're right on the money. We got everything done, so that's cool. Zach, thank you for joining us to read and comment. And Wayne and Brett, thank you too. And Robbie and Rosie, thank you for the boards. Much appreciated. Next week, well, we're going to go back to Liverpool, except we're going Liverpool.
What are we going to do?
We're going to go back in time to Liverpool. We're going to go with the album Revolver.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a great, great album, which took the Beatles in a very new direction and music as a whole as well. So we're going to dig into that. We'll see you all next Sunday night. Thanks, guys. Have a great evening and a nice week.